And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So the local, statewide, Tennessee, House and Senate, been passing some legislation. Figured I'd share it with you and use a little bit of news clippage to help get the conversation started on what's going down here in this wacky, conspiracy-ridden Tennessee Republican House Senate majority. Fun. Hit the clip.
A new bill in Tennessee would prohibit anyone from combating climate change through atmospheric dispersal in the state. So this would bar the intentional injection, release, or dispersion of chemicals or chemical compounds for a purpose of affecting temperature or weather. Supporters of the bill say it's worded in such a way that it would not interfere with legitimate industry within the state. Opponents say the bill is based on false conspiracy theories. The bill has already passed the Senate on a party-line vote.
False conspiracy theories about geoengineering. The bill summary, the amendment that they're talking about, rewrites the bill to prohibit the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight. Now, I recall a couple months ago, us talking about a little thing that Good Morning America brought about. What was that called, Ginger?
It's called weather modification.
Exactly. Weather modification. Helping get the Colorado River to have more water in it. Now, there's, again, we had that conversation of the justification of making sure that there's enough water and whatnot going to all the different cities down in Southern California for the farms and Tucson, Arizona. But to blatantly call it along the lines of conspiracy theories, such as in the Tennessean, there was a breakdown of what some of the debates were within this passing or going through the chambers. Bigfoot was brought up in this article written by Diana Leva. Tennessee legislature passes bill based on chemtrails conspiracy theory. During Monday's House session, an amendment put forth by Representative John Ray Clemens, Democrat of Nashville, to amend the bill to a lively discussion about the existence of Bigfoot. Quote, whereas it is documented among those within the pseudoscience of cryptozoology, there exists a large, hairy, human-like creature that inhabits forests in North America, and whereas this creature is commonly referred to as a Yeti, Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, and whereas it is the intent of this General Assembly to protect the public health and welfare of Tennesseans and other creatures while allowing all authorized activities permitted under state law. Now, therefore, be it enacted by the General State of Assembly of Tennessee, read the amendment. Clemens said the amendment was not to be taken seriously because SB 2691/HB 2063 shouldn't be taken seriously. Representative William Lamberth, Republican of Portland, asked Clemens if he believed in the existence of Bigfoot. Quote, as much as I believe in conspiracy about contrails, replied Clemens. Representative Justin Pearson, Democrat of Memphis, inquired why they were dealing with issues related to conspiracy theories and not issues like pollution. Clemens recognized that it is imperative to maintain environmental welfare. However, it is unfortunate that they're focused on conspiracy theories. Clemens added that he would prefer not to waste Tennesseans' time and resources and instead focus on issues on that are actually harming the environment and atmosphere. When we're doing cloud seeding, is it the destruction of the environment? Are we attempting to preserve the environment? What is Texas spraying into its clouds that affects us? Or is Missouri doing something that affects Tennessean clouds? Or lack thereof, removing our clouds, changing the weather patterns? A lot of the climate change stuff is all downstream kind of situations that affect all of us. And I think it's justified that Tennessee is making an active step saying that they don't want the aerosols sprayed in our airs or things done to man-made climate harness our environment. We kind of want our farms and our food to be as naturally grown as possible, as many shenanigans as there may be around. Because even still, we've gone just a little bit nuttier, as it seems, with contrails or chemtrails, you know, preventing us from helping and prevent climate change through climate change techniques, weather modification techniques to prevent climate change. We're also focused here in Tennessee on the things that go into our food. I hope you guys got your tinfoil hats on this one as well.
A bill that would prohibit vaccines from being put on food is now heading to the governor's desk. House Bill 1894, nicknamed the Vaccine Lettuce Bill, passed the Senate earlier this week. This is after Tennessee Republicans brought up concerns about scientists putting vaccines in the produce at grocery stores. In a previous discussion, a representative said people at the University of California, Riverside, could, quote, put a vaccine into a head of lettuce.
Does or know of any instances of there being food offered in the state of Tennessee that contains vaccines in some kind of a retail or public forum?
Senator Hensley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No, I do not know any specific examples, but certainly they are developing this process, and actually Congress has actually dealt with this as well.
The bill adds a new definition to the word drug in the state's code. It says drugs are also food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material. It passed the Senate by a vote of 23-6.
Well, the news lady didn't summarize the bill just quite as well. It's not that many words, but again, morning local news, there's more important things to talk about. Like, I don't know. They always cover the most important stuff with the least amount of information. But the summary bill of House Bill 1894, Senate Bill 1903, the Vaccine Lettuce Bill, summary of bill, classifies any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material as a drug under the Tennessee Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, defines vaccine or vaccine material as a substance intended for use in humans to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against disease prepared from the causative agent of a disease, its products, or a synthetic substitute, treated as an act as an antigen without inducing the disease, that is authorized or approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration. These wacky conspiracy theorists. Good thing there's nothing posted on the University of California.edu website with the title of Grow and Eat Your Own Vaccines from September 16th, 2021. The future of vaccines may look more like eating a salad than getting a shot in the arm. UC Riverside scientists are studying whether they can turn edible plants like lettuce into mRNA vaccine factories. Messenger RNA or mRNA technology used in COVID-19 vaccines works by teaching our cells to recognize and protect us against infectious diseases. One of the challenges with this new technology is that it must be kept cold to maintain stability during transport and storage. If this new project is successful, plant-based mRNA vaccines, which can be eaten, could overcome this challenge with the ability to be stored at room temperature. The project's goals, made possible by a $500,000 grant from the National Science Foundation, are threefold: showing that DNA containing the mRNA vaccines can be successfully delivered into part of the plant cells where it will replicate, demonstrate the plants can produce enough mRNA to rival a traditional shot, and finally, determining the right dosage. Ideally, a single plant would produce enough mRNA to vaccinate a single person, said Juan Pablo Giraldo, an associate professor in UC Riverside's Department of Botany and Plant Sciences, who is leading the research done in collaboration with scientists from UC San Diego and Carnegie Mellon University. We are testing this approach with spinach and lettuce and have long-term goals of people growing it in their own gardens, Giraldo said. Farmers could also eventually grow entire fields of it. And then the article goes on. So these crazy tinfoil hat wearing Republicans don't want geoengineering and they don't want vaccines and lettuce. How dare they? We're only trying to save the world, save the planet, save people. But not everybody believes in getting vaxxed to the gills. People want to know what is inside their food. People are very particular. There's a time and a place for science and stuff like that to save things. But again, it doesn't need to go into everything, which is kind of funny because there's so many fast food restaurants around here. People are so concerned about vaccines in their lettuce, but yet they've got no problem going to McDonald's or Wendy's and eating whatever they call that burger meat and whatever is in that lettuce. Is it lettuce on those burgers? Is it really bacon on the Baconator? It's cool to think about the fact that science has come so far that we can genetically engineer and modify, or at least have the concept of modifying these things to make it so that way you get all your vitamins and nutrients and your vaccines, your immunity boosters, all in a single salad. Something like that seems like it'll work really well, traveling through space. But with a largely agricultural economy down here, lots and lots of farms, there's a lot of people that want to keep things natural. There's been a resurgence of keeping things just a little bit closer to the earth, even though, again, we're doing our cross-pollination. We're doing our mixing and matching of genes to make sure that we get the correct kind of beef to grow. I don't know the difference between different types of cows, but cow A and cow B make cow C, which turns out to be the best kind of cow to turn into burger meat. Or maybe it's a better producing dairy cow. Create that just slightly better whole milk or skim milk. They make cows that create almond milk. And the lady, that lady talking about, has there ever been any kind of vaccines? No. Vaccines given to plants to be put into store shelves. And again, you guys said, no, not yet. It's preventative maintenance. Kind of want to nip this in the bud, as it were. So that way things can stay kind of on track. But we'll see, because the majority of the United States beef doesn't really come from the United States. It comes from Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, and New Zealand. You know, who needs to grow beef here? We got enough salad. We can grow some crickets. Nothing to say that we don't put the vaccines in crickets. Land lobsters. Yummy. Or would those be tarantulas? Gross! People are trying to eat breakfast right now. But kookiness. Kookiness is going on all over here in the crazy old red state of Tennessee. No geoengineering. No vaccines in lettuce. Maybe your state's got a firmer grasp of reality, not going down the crazy train. You're going to save the planet more so than us. Or maybe Florida's going to take us all over. Those crazy Floridians. But I've been Billy Bones. BILLYBON, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noauthority.social. If you don't have the SOSMED, go to the website, billybones.com. Remember that it's spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you can find show notes. Quite the collection today. Not too many, but enough. Keep you busy. Read some of the bills. Read some of the articles. Read some of this fake news, conspiracy theories. There's also links to past shows and their show notes. There's a link to email and SoundCloud. And there's a link that says value for value. Because I release this show free of charge, no paywall, no advertisers, in hopes that you find value out of it. And if you did, fantastic. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a reason to not buy lettuce or start the production of mRNA vaccines in their lettuce. But if you found that this show was worth more than just a share, you think that I've earned a couple shekels, a couple dollars, something to get my pilot's license so I can start spraying contrails over my own garden, so make it so that way I can dim the sun or make some more rain. Again, you go to billybones.com, scroll all the way down, click that value for value button. It'll take you to PayPal. You chip in, you donate to support the show in a number that you feel is appropriate. Like today's executive producer, Lady Get Over It, sending in her $10 monthly donation. Thank you very much, man. But if you don't like the Federal Reserve Freedom Unit dollars, otherwise known as the United States dollar, You're in luck. I accept Satoshi's teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin if you're using a podcasting 2.0 app to listen to this podcast. And you can be like our other executive producers, Dane Slamy, through listening to a couple of past episodes, more than just a button mushroom, dopamine withdrawals, and peace and prosperity. Streamed in a total of 5,128 Satoshis and threw in a 950 Satoshi boost with my comment during dopamine withdrawals. These feelings don't drown, they float. She says, cheers, brother. I say, cheers, sister. Thank you for your support. Thank you for helping me pull through. And then we have Sir Sean in the Allegheny Valley. What a hero coming through, streaming his Satoshis. Grand total of 616 for the last episode. Thank you very much, sir. And thank you very much to everybody listening, tuning in, sharing the show, enjoying the show. I'm glad you're getting some value out of it. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.